Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt, a podcast about electric vehicles, autonomous driving, renewable energy, and much, much more. Welcome to the show. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little bit of inside baseball. Normally, when I do this show, it takes me about an hour to record a 20-minute episode. However, today, I don't have that much time. I have about 45 minutes to record, so I'm going to try to get this done in as few takes as possible, so there might be some mistakes that I let slip by. Hopefully, they're not too bad, and when it happens, I'll make sure to make fun of myself, so it's at least entertaining for everybody. Start off with our EV news. Goldman Sachs predicts a 40% EV battery price drop by 2025. This is due to lower costs on battery materials and innovations, so things like battery design, energy density increases or improvements, simplifying and improving efficiencies in battery cell production, as well as battery pack manufacturing, all that stuff. On the horizon, we have solid-state batteries that could help potentially lower cost. All of this may help automakers reach price parity with ICE cars in 2024. And when I say price parity, I mean their cost. Who knows if they will pass those costs on to us, because we have, you know, the automakers themselves who want to make money. But then we have dealers who know that people in the United States are getting a $7,500 federal tax credit and increasing the price of the EVs by $7,500. So who knows if you or I will be able to take advantage of that. But it is possible, according to Goldman Sachs, that automakers will be able to take advantage of that. And obviously, dealers take advantage of everything. Not all dealers, just some dealers. There's also other outside factors, and we mentioned one of them, which is the EV tax credits to help lower prices. Again, dealers. And then there's European countries and their EV mandates. That's also helping drive those costs down. We'll see if this actually happens. I'm not holding my breath, but there is some good news already in 2024. New EV prices have decreased on average of $2,000 in February, according to Inside EVs. Battery cell company CATL and EV maker NIO are partnering up to extend the lifespan of EV batteries. I did not know this. Did you know that 20 million EV battery packs will reach end of warranty, not end of life, but end of warranty between 2025 and 2032, which leads me to NIO and CATL's goals, which is to create a battery that can be warrantied and will last at least 15 years. So currently, battery warranties are right around 8 years. Their plan is to pretty much double that, not quite double. This will help reduce the overall cost of EV ownership, because over time, if you don't have to replace your battery, that'll save you a bunch of money. And then as it happens, NIO is big into swappable battery packs. So if you're one of those lucky folks who owns a NIO and you have an issue with your battery pack, it's pretty easy for NIO to just drop that old battery pack out and put a new battery pack in. So that's pretty cool. Love to see companies working on stuff like this. Whether that we'll see that here in the US, who knows, but it's still cool that it's happening out there. I'm sure somebody will do it here in the US. Let's talk about Rivian. Rivian owners can now access the Tesla Supercharger network, which is about 15,000 stalls across North America. Obviously, in order to do this, you're going to need a NACS adapter to CCS1 adapter, and Rivian customers are going to receive this free of charge later this month or next month. This month's almost over, so I'd imagine it's next month. When it comes to paying, it's pretty seamless. Rivian owners will see the price per kilowatt listed on their infotainment screen. And when they, you know, charge, they're going to be billed through the Rivian app. So, you know, it's pretty close to as plug and play or plug and charge as you can get. If you don't want to pay Tesla's higher kilowatt hour rates for charging, you can become a member of the Supercharge network for $12.99 a month. And that will give you the same kilowatt hour rates that Tesla owners enjoy. Doesn't seem like this is a good deal if you rarely charge. However, if you live in an apartment or you don't have a charger at home, this could save you a lot of money. Moving on, let's talk about Fisker. I don't have a lot of good news for Fisker, so let's start with the good news. The first bit of good news is Fisker has received a $150 million investment. And in the article, it said that this was actually not an investment. It was a financial commitment from an existing investor. So I'm sure that this is, you know, guaranteed. If they said we're going to give you the $150 million, I'm sure they're going to give it to them. However, it was listed in the article as a financial commitment. So that's the first bit of good news, a little bit of a lifeline for Fisker. And I don't remember if we talked about this last time we covered news, but Fisker's about ready to go broke. I'm pretty sure we've already talked about this. They are in serious trouble. So here's the second bit of good news. The Fisker Ocean One has been awarded the IF Design Award 2024 for the best EV in the SUV category. Apparently, this award is very prestigious, apart from the fact that I have a hard time pronouncing the title of the award. It's very prestigious. It's judged by 132 independent design experts, and they gave it they gave it an award. They gave it a prestigious award. The IF Award 2024 for Best EV in the SUV category. That's how it was written in the article. It doesn't roll off the tongue, I'm going to be honest. Now for the not-so-good news when it comes to Fisker. Consumer Reports bought and reviewed a Fisker Ocean. If you don't know anything about Consumer Reports, they're here in the U.S., and their whole job is to review things. And they buy everything that they review. They don't take anything for free. They don't get a review unit or anything like that. They actually purchase it. So they called it, Consumer Reports called it unfinished and referred to it as lost at sea. Now, some of the issues that they had with it are just repeating some of Marques Brownlee's points and concerns. So I'm not going to go through that again because we talked about that, I'm pretty sure, on our last news episode. But yeah, this isn't great for Fisker. Like the last couple of weeks, I'm sure, for the Fisker team has been very topsy-turvy when it comes to emotions. Lots of not quite highs, but lots of very low lows. Like there's just a lot going on with that company. And I really genuinely do hope they figure it out. I have no hate for Fisker, and I want to see them succeed. Because I do think they're building a good car. They just need to catch up on some other things. So let's talk about some of that stuff. As I mentioned, Fisker is very close to bankruptcy. They're hanging on by a thread. They got this $150 million commitment. As it stands right now, Fisker has paused production for the next 6 weeks. They currently have 4,700 cars in inventory. So that's 4,700 cars just sitting in a parking lot somewhere, waiting to be delivered, completely built. Just in 2024, Fisker has built 1,000 Fisker Oceans. So how many have they delivered? Well, they've delivered around 1,300 in total in 2024. And I don't know if that's because of their delivery network. It's not so great. It's taken them a very long time to get these cars out. Or if people are canceling orders because they see what's going on with the company and they're like, ooh, hold on just a second. I don't want to spend this much money on a vehicle. And then the company go away. I don't think the company's going away, by the way. But I do understand that concern. So I totally get it. You may be asking yourself at this point, what's next for Fisker? And I'm going to tell you my, I don't know. I have no idea. $150 million in terms of my life is incredibly life-changing. $150 million when you're building vehicles, not so much. My ultimate hope is that Fisker is able to right the ship and they become very successful. That is my hope for the company. But if that doesn't happen, I see two things happening. I don't see them going away completely. One is another company will come in and buy them. Right now, Fisker's share is about, I don't know, the last time I checked, it was like 17 cents a share, something like that. So it'd be very cheap for a company like GM or Nissan or any of these other companies, Honda, to just come in and buy Fisker. It would almost be a rounding error for them. The other thing that could happen is Fisker could sell off their intellectual property, and then, you know, they just, those pieces of intellectual property either go to somebody's, you know, patent portfolio that they never use, or somebody implements it and that technology is used in some car and you'll never know about it. I really hope those aren't the options. I do genuinely want Fisker to succeed in this case. And I think there's enough promise in the Ocean and some of the other vehicles that they announced, but there's enough promise in the Ocean that another automaker will see that and be like, you know what? We could take this and we can make it better. And it's like 98% done. We can finish the other 2% and put this out. What do you think? Send me an email. It's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. Tell me your thoughts on this. Okie doke, we got one more story in our EV news segment, and this comes from Bruce. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, Bruce was on the show, and he talked about blended braking in episode 466. He was also in episode 283 talking about his Kia Niro EV. So I'll put links in the show notes if you're interested in those. Anyway, Bruce sent this article. Researchers at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Tennessee have developed some really cool electric vehicle wireless charging technology. Now, this is not your home wireless EV charger that a lot of companies are promising. This is something that is going to be is going to deliver more power than what you can do at home. The team at ORNL demonstrated 100 kilowatts of wireless power transfer to a light-duty passenger vehicle. So this system that they have uses polyphase electromagnetic coupling coils with rotating magnetic fields. If you know what that means, you know. If you don't, you're me, because I don't know what that means. Anyway, they were able to charge a modified Hyundai Kona EV with 5 inches between the polyphase electromagnetic coupling coils with rotating magnetic fields and the Hyundai Kona EV. So they just parked over this device. There was about 5 inches between them and they were able to charge. Now, when I started reading this article, I was like, oh, this is great, but what's the efficiency? Like the efficiency's got to be terrible, around 70% or something like that. Well, that's not the case. The efficiency was right around 96% on this. So pretty good, if you ask me. Again, it's unlikely that they're going to use this technology for residential setting. This is probably going to be used for companies or government agencies that have a whole fleet of EVs. This is very simple. You just park it in the parking lot and charge away. Or it's going to be used in retail spaces, movie theaters, restaurants, that kind of thing. Shopping centers, parking garages would be another good option. So overall, pretty cool technology. Thanks, Bruce, for letting us know.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
All right. That is our EV news. So before we go on to our Tesla news segment, I would like to let you know this podcast is supported by ads and by patrons. If you would like to support the show and not have ads in your feed, go to patreon.com/kilowatt or supportkilowatt.com and support the show. For as little as $1 a month, you can have the ads completely removed. All right, that was our totally painless and quick Patreon plug. Let's move on to our Tesla news. Remember just a few minutes ago when we were talking about wireless charging for EVs? Well, we found out this week that the Cybertruck has the ability to charge wirelessly. We don't know quite what the efficiency would be for the Cybertruck to charge, but we do know that other companies in this space see about a 95% efficiency, which is pretty close to what we had in the ORNL, the Oak Ridge story that we just talked about. And Tesla is working on this technology. They have announced that they are working on wireless technology, wireless charging technology. So I would not be surprised if we don't see something in 2024 or 2025, at least an announcement. Probably when the Roadster comes out, if I had to guess. Let's move on. We're still talking about Cybertruck. Tesla launched a Cybertruck-inspired hammer. It is called Cyberhammer. They're going to make about 800 total, and it's available through the referral program. I don't know how many referral points this will cost, but I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's going to be a lot. Now, Tesla isn't going to release all 800 at a time because people with a ton of points will just buy them all up and then sell them on eBay. So they're going to release them in small batches so more people have an opportunity to get in there and buy it if they want one, which I think is a good way to do it. Moving on, I also think that it would just be good for Tesla to limit people to one unless nobody's buying it, and then they can increase that limit. But that's just me. Moving on. Marques Brownlee mentioned in his video when he was reviewing the Cybertruck, it's a great video, I'll put a link in the show notes, that there was a panel gap between his front door on the driver's side and the B pillar. So when you shut the door, there's a huge gap. And he said it's the worst gap he's ever seen, and he doesn't really pay attention to gaps. Well, and it was really bad in the video. Elon got onto X and said that the issue was not a door fit issue. The issue is that there's a loosened a door striker that was not tightened to the correct torque, and it is coming loose basically. So when you close the door, it's hitting that loose door striker, which is what holds your door shut. And Elon said this is a 5-minute fix. There are only about 15 Cybertrucks that are affected, and that should fix Marquez's problem. And hopefully that is the case. I have one more Cybertruck story. Tesla helped a Cybertruck reservation holder with stage 4 cancer get their Cybertruck a little bit early. Now, this is actually against Tesla's policy. It's not against Tesla's policy on giving, you know, people with cancer their car early. That's not against their policy. They don't give preferential treatment to people. Like if a celebrity ordered a Cybertruck and they were one of the last people to order one, they're not jumping the line just because they're a celebrity. That's what that means. Not the cancer part. But this isn't the first time that Tesla's done something like this. I can think of one other time, and I think it happened with a Model 3. It might have been the Y, but I'm pretty sure it was the Model 3 right as they were going through production hell. So I'm glad that Tesla broke their own rule, because the owner of this truck, he has received his truck. He was afraid that he would never see it. He was afraid that he might die before he got the opportunity to own and drive this truck. So as many things as Elon does that are frustrating to me, and Tesla as well, probably at Elon's behest, there is a kindness in the man, and I am happy to see that this happened. Our next story comes from a recommendation from Pat. So Pat, thank you very much for this. Elon confirmed on X that Tesla will add support for the Apple Watch in future updates. So X user Danny underscore L831 included Elon in a post that she made where she got locked out of her car because her phone died. She then went on to X and asked Elon, "Hey, would you allow the Apple Watch or some other smartwatch to unlock and allow the vehicle to be operated from the watch instead of the phone?" And Elon replied, "Sure." So there you go. That's going to happen someday. I don't know when. Maybe it was already in progress, or maybe Elon just decided it was going to happen right then. I have no idea. Let's see. Tesla is telling everyone that goes to their website that the Model Y trims will increase by $1,000 on April 1st, which is the first day of Q2 2024. And you know what the day before that is? The last day of Q1 2024, where Tesla wants to sell a bunch of cars. This is the weirdest incentive that Tesla has offered. Usually it's customary to offer like free supercharger miles, or, you know, 3 months of full self-driving, or whatever it is, you know, not hanging over this price cut or this price increase that's going to happen in the second quarter of 2024. But yeah, so if you're out there, and I know at least one of our listeners in Northern Arizona or Central Arizona is looking at getting a Model Y, you have a few more weeks or a few more days before it goes up by $1,000. Good luck. And I'm excited to see what you think. All right. Let's see. There are new improvements coming to Summon and Auto Park, according to Elon. So people like me who just have the regular autopilot, we don't have access to Summon or Auto Park. But here are some of the things that are kind of cool about this. First of all, Auto Park will now be known as Banish. So you get out of your car and you banish it to its parking spot. That's kind of cool. Summon will get an update and improved accuracy and confidence when it's navigating parking lots. So you can actually stand at theoretically, you can stand at the front door of the grocery store and summon your car, and it will back out of the parking spot and drive to you and not hit anybody. It drives very slow, and if somebody steps in front of it, or even kind of in front of it, it stops. And as far as I can tell, the feature doesn't work very good. I have had very limited experience with it. However, when I was driving my oldest, her car, she is a Tesla Model 3 with full self-driving. I was at Safeway and I went inside, got my groceries, came out, and somebody had parked so close to her car. I was driving. Somebody had parked so close to her car that I couldn't get in. And the other person who parked that close to her car was actually a Tesla owner. Like, there was no room whatsoever for me to slip into the Model 3. And I was very upset about this because I was like, this is very rude. This is not a busy Safeway. There's lots of parking. You could have parked literally anywhere if it was that tight for you. I checked their side of the car and they had plenty of room to get out. So very annoying. But I remembered, because I had access to Sierra, who's my kid, I had access to her car through my phone, and I used Summon, and it backed out of the parking spot for me, and I was able to get in, and I did not have a confrontation with that Tesla owner. So all in all, a very positive experience. These features should be out sometime in April 2024, but this is Elon. This is Elon when it comes to timelines, so... maybe. Let's see. I think we have two more stories left. The first one is Pwn to Own. Are you familiar with Pwn to Own? It's a hacker competition, and they do all of these great things. It's not hacker in the black hat sense of hacker. These are white hat hackers, and these hackers hack for good, not for evil. So what happens is these hackers... are given an opportunity to hack into something. It could be an Apple, it could be an Android device, it could be a TV, it could be a camera, it could be whatever. In this case, it was a Model 3. The hacker team, Synactive, so hopefully I'm saying that right, Synactive, was able to exploit a vulnerability in Tesla's electronic control unit, ECU, and the vehicle CAN bus, which allowed them to access Tesla's systems. For accomplishing this feat, the team was awarded $200,000 and a Model 3. Again, this is a good thing. We want to know about these vulnerabilities before the bad guys do. So, good job, Synactive. Good job, folks. Enjoy your 200 grand in Model 3. Let's see here. So this is kind of a bit of a bummer. Earlier this month, there was a suspected arson attack at a electrical substation near Giga Berlin. And the target was Tesla, but it's a substation, so more than Tesla is affected. Tesla had to halt production, and a group has claimed responsibility for the act. In Germany and in and around Giga Berlin, which is around Brandenburg, locals and environmental groups are very concerned because of a lot of things that Tesla's doing. One of them happens to be Tesla wanting to expand Giga Berlin, which would mean cutting down more trees and clearing more forested areas around Giga Berlin, which is, in their view, problematic. So I am 100% for protesting. Even if I don't think what you're protesting makes any sense, I'm 100% for it. Protest away. I am a big believer in protest. I will support you every single day of the week, even if I don't agree with you, because I think protesting is important. You need to be able to have your voice heard. Arson, on the other hand, here's where I have a little bit of a problem. Not a little bit, a lot. By doing this, one of the people in your group who committed the arson could have been hurt or killed, which is awful. I don't want that to happen to anybody. Somebody that works at that substation, if it was manned, could have been hurt or killed. A first responder could have been hurt or killed. A passerby could have been hurt or killed. Like, there's a lot. And I'm pretty familiar with substations because in my first due, we have a couple. And some of these things, it's no joke. Like, if some of these things are on fire, our protocol is not to go in, period, because somebody could die. These are not and I don't know the details on this particular substation, but as far as our policies go, these are definitely a no-go until the utility company comes in and says it's safe. We'll just let it burn and try to mitigate what's going on outside of that substation property. But yeah, these are no joke. These are killers. These are widow makers. These are bad news when they catch on fire. And so my hope is that these folks are all safe, first of all. And second, let's not do this anymore. Let's not do things in protest that could get other people who are not involved in, who are not on your side or Tesla's side killed because you want to make a statement. Like, this is something that you can't come back from. And if somebody would have died in this instance, that group would have been charged with murder. And that changes your whole life. Now, I don't know how old these people are, but I don't want to see anybody going away for murder. So I'm going to leave you with a story. So I was not on this call, but a few years ago, it was probably 10 years ago, our units got dispatched to a fire with flames 40 feet in the air. They roll out of the station. They're ready to go to work. It's in the middle of the daytime. So flames 40 feet in the air in the middle of the daytime that people can see, that's pretty significant. Usually, you'll see the smoke first and people passing by will catch it early. This is by a very busy road. 40 feet in the air, that means it's working. It is cooking. It is going to town. The units rolled out of the station, headed the direction of the fire, and they could see nothing. Multiple reports, 40 feet in the air, they're seeing nothing. And they don't have an address for this. This was just passerbys who saw this happen, and then, they're on their cell phones. They're somewhere else now. So the units that responded, it was upgraded to a first alarm at the very beginning. So there are tons of units roaming around this area looking for fire with 40-foot flames, and they can't find it. Well, I think it was one of the battalion chiefs had gone behind a warehouse, and they saw like char marks on the building in a shape of a V. And this is how arson investigators work. But there are char marks in the shape of a V. The big part of the V was at the top of the building. The smaller part of the V was pointing to, and this is arson 101, arson investigation 101. Usually when you have a V pattern on a wall, the smaller part points to where that fire started. So it's almost like an arrow. So the arrow was pointing to the transformer for the building. If you don't know what a transformer is, they're usually like big green boxes, or they could be like yellow boxes here in Arizona that are outside of buildings. So it has a lot of electricity in these transformers. So what these very not so intelligent folks decided that they were going to do, or maybe they just weren't thinking it through, is they were going to wrap a chain around this transformer, hook it to the back of their pickup truck, and drive away with this and steal all the copper. And these transformers are on these big concrete pads. So they wrapped the chain around and they drove away while it was charged with electricity, and it shot flames 40 feet in the air and scarred the outside of this building. And they made it about 8 inches off of the concrete pad. Like, it moved a little bit, not a lot. And when they arrived, and when I went back to see it a couple of days later for training, what you see is the transformer, the big box, is kind of misplaced on the pad. You see the char marks on the building. And then you see a humongous pile of vomit that was still there a couple of days later from somebody who happened to be standing next to this thing, got hit with this big event, and instantly got sick. And hopefully they didn't get hurt. But this is what I'm trying to illustrate here is this is something you don't want to mess with. This is a lot of people could have gotten hurt that day. Thankfully, it seems like nobody did. And that is actually a positive. I'm sure they learned a lesson, but when you're dealing with these substations, it's what I just explained to you times a million. It's so much more severe than just that instance. So my hope to anybody who wants to protest anything for that matter is when you do this, use your voice. Don't use violence or, you know, things like arson or vandalism or whatever. Don't get yourself hurt. Don't get somebody else hurt. Don't ruin somebody's day because you want to prove a point. That's my point. I'll get off my soapbox now. Let's talk about another area of concern with the Giga Berlin site for Tesla, and that is water management. Andre Thurig, the manager of Tesla's Giga Berlin, address some issues when it comes to water, because I guess the local water association is claiming that Tesla's exceeding wastewater limits. And it's worth pointing out that Tesla's not exceeding the industrial wastewater limits. They're exceeding like regular wastewater. Like, it's not from the process of building the cars. That's not, that wastewater gets 100% recycled. What Tesla is exceeding is water that comes from toilets, sinks. I don't know if they have showers, but if they have showers, that kind of wastewater, the kind of stuff that comes, you know, that you have in your home, same thing. So like I said, right now Tesla recycles 100% of its industrial wastewater. They said, this is kind of ironic, but they did say that once they build out their next expansion, they'll be able to recycle 100% of the regular wastewater in addition to the industrial wastewater. So we'll see how that goes. But I do understand the concern of the local water association, because if Tesla's using so much of this, of their wastewater, and they're going over their limits, this wastewater plant can only handle so much. Like, it's not as if they can just continue sending water in unlimited waves and the wastewater plant can handle it. Like, there are limits, and if that was to continue to happen, upgrades at the plant need to happen. So hopefully that gets worked out between Tesla and this water association. But that's it. That's our show. I didn't think we were going to go 20 minutes. We went 34. So I apologize for going a little bit long. I also apologize for telling a very self-indulgent story. But I want everybody to take this very seriously. All right. If you need to email me, it's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Bruce, for recommending stories this week. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend, and I will talk to you on Tuesday.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.